John 10, Jesus says concerning us. I want you to look at what he says. John chapter 10. Are you there? I'm going to read from verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door unto the sheepfold, but climbs up from some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Verse 2. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, and leads them on. Hallelujah. Look at verse 4. Why do you read verse 4 together? One to go. And when he puts one sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Say, I know his voice. Say, I know his voice. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks in a year, I follow the voice of the good shepherd. The voice of a stranger, I will not follow. The voice of the robber, I will not follow. My ears are open. My heart is receptive for the voice of the good shepherd. Hallelujah. Praise God. I follow the voice of the good shepherd. So we've been looking at leading in a simple way. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23. Jeremiah is in the Old Testament. Old Testament portion of the Bible. Jeremiah chapter 10 verse 23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his steps. And I shared with you last week that we are all a product of influence. Can you still remember that? Whatever you are to be is a product of the influences you receive into your life. Whatever you are doing today, see, if you are a spiritual Christian, it's because you have allowed spiritual influence into your life. If you are a carnal Christian, that is, you are not growing, it's because you have allowed carnal influences into your life. It is not in a man to direct his steps. Man is a product of influence. That is why church is important. In church, you will see all through the week. You go out in the morning, you know, you set out to work. You're a student, you set out for classes. You relate with different sets of people, with different sets of ideas. I tell you, there are different sets of ideas in that world. There are different sets of ideas in that world. Then when you go out in the morning, you receive information almost every time. People are talking to you. People are writing to you. People are showing you things by television, for instance. Just being in the bus. You know, one day I had the Lord tell me to listen to what I heard in the bus to how people relate in this world. And I had all sorts of curses. I'd never paid attention to it. Everybody was cursing, complaining, bitter. You know, there was so much noise. And he said, that is the influence that surrounds you every day. And you can receive that easily. You see that a lot of our ladies, not like the Europeans. Hi. We didn't learn that from home. That didn't come from you. I mean, your child did not get born and say, hi. Oh, how are you? He's alive. You know, these things came from somewhere. The way you think, the way you reason, all come from somewhere. You watch television. You get it? And some of our guys have learned how to approach a lady by television. Hello, have I met you somewhere before? No. Do I know you? No. You know, because that's what you see. African men now start to give flowers to women. Get it? Give flowers to Hollywood. Oh, she's sweet. Why? Because she also watched it in the movie. So everybody acting out something. Are you following what I'm saying here? We are all a product of influence. Because I know what I'm doing. I know you're not really telling the truth. You will see that influence comes in. Now, that's the same way you will learn to receive the influence of the Spirit of God in your life. I said this, we go out in the morning and we receive influences every day. I'm in the business world. Every day you have all sort of ideas from people, all sort of ideas, all sort of ways people want to do things. So that's why it's important for a Christian to be in church, because then you will receive God's influence by the teaching of the Word of God. No church of Jesus Christ will teach you to cheat, will teach you to lie, will teach you to commit adultery, will teach you to commit fornication. No church of Jesus Christ will do that. So you receive the right influence from the church. Hebrews 10 and 35 says we should not forsake the assembling of one another as the manner of some is. Because when we come together like that, we provoke ourselves unto good works. This was important to be in church. Because there you will receive good influence. I shudder when people tell us, you see, people are, you know, people allow people to go to church too often, you know, and all that. There's nothing about, people don't complain about watching a movie for long. They don't complain about, you know, watching matches for long. An average football match is how many hours? I think in 1 hour, 30 minutes. If it goes into extra time and somebody uses his handball to push it to someone and he heads into the net. And then the whole nation is crying about somebody using hand, you know, people who still want you to stay beat. 2 matches, they say, Barcelona versus Real Madrid. They say, that's a classical match. So they say 6-8. They're there. They say, Arsenal versus Manchester United. The next match, you will still watch that one. They say, Liverpool versus Chelsea. They say, AC Milan versus Inter Milan. You know, those are, you know, but when they say, Yimba versus I will see maybe past tomorrow morning. Do you understand? But you will still stay there. That means you have allowed yourself to receive joy, happiness, fulfillment from seeing others make money. Right, Professor? But you've allowed yourself. So, when she said, I don't like going to church, I don't believe in church, you said, if I go to church, it's about watching films. You're getting influence from someone. So that is why you must determine where your influence in life will come from. I made up my mind about 18 years ago that my influence will be primarily from the Word of God. It's a decision you have to make. Hallelujah. Are you in service? You see, it's not in a man to decide and direct his steps. Somebody is guiding you. Somebody is telling you what to do. Whether the person is in your past or in your present, you are a product of influence from someone. Who understands what I'm saying this morning? You get what I'm saying? You are a product. That is why it's cool and important and it's very necessary to ask yourself this morning, where do I get direction from? Whether it's in your business, whether it's in your job, whether it's in your marriage, where do you get direction from? Some folks will take influence, for instance, from their parents or their aunties or uncles, and then they will destroy their marriages because they got the wrong influence. You know, I was telling a lady, she was married to a preacher. But then they told her something that, you see, the man doesn't love you. So why? So if he loves you, you know, he should give you a space in his church. At least you should be something. The man is always busy. That was years ago. You know, I was traveling at the place preaching. But somebody was telling this woman, look, no, that's not it. Look at this one, so person. And then you were telling all sort of things.
And I said, let me tell you something. I said, that man is a minister of the gospel. You cannot compare him with a man who is a banker, for instance. The other person is committed to other people's money. He is committed to other people's lives. So you have to partner with him to serve God. I told her, I said, let me tell you what will make your husband happy. But what? Get busy in the things of God. You are not automatically a minister because you married one. Are you following what I'm saying? That will be your decision. I said, so get busy in the things of God. Start to win souls. Start to disciple people. Start to pray. That will be the right influence for you. Because that is the word of God that puts to her without using the scriptures. But then she was listening to other people. Her cousin, her aunt, her sister, and all sorts of people. Because we live in a world that is confused. I was reading Bloomberg does forecasts on the economy, and I do a lot of market and survey. And they said, as at this time last year, it was predicted that in the whole of Europe, the recession would be the worst ever in the world, and that it will last for years and years and years and years and years. And in less than 8 months, Germany, France, I think, and Spain got out of the recession. That means they were proven wrong. Years back, it was said that China will still face a glut and there will be a problem and all that. Today, the whole world is turning to China. You see, so human beings will be wrong. Not that can be wrong. They will be wrong. Are you following what I'm saying here? That is why your influence must be right. Some folks have taken their, this is that one, and that's all they will depend on. Remember, the Bible tells us in the book of Genesis, when the king had a dream, and nobody could interpret the king's dream, that's Pharaoh. And he called on Joseph, and Joseph told him the meaning of those dreams. That he had two different dreams. And he said, now listen carefully. For 7 years of plenty, you will store. Then after the 7 years, when there will be famine, you will still have plenty. That tells you something. And, it was such in Egypt that nations of the world, remember, they came to Egypt, if you are managing, people will not come for help. They were not managing, they were living in abundance. That tells you this earth is blessed with abundance if you listen to God. There is no recession in the earth. There is not a single famine in the world. What people lack is wisdom, insight into how to handle this earth. Joseph said, 7 years, there will be plenty. That's why I tell people, God does not bless you that you are an ex-rich man. Are you following what I'm saying here now? He said, 7 years, you will keep it. You will store it. People will still live in abundance, then you will store it. Then 7 years after, when the whole world is in recession, when everybody is facing famine, you will not face famine. How was that? The wisdom of God. I prosper by the Spirit of God. I prosper by the Spirit of God. I prosper by the Spirit of God. You don't have to cheat. You shouldn't cheat. You're a child of God. You don't have to, dupe somebody and lie and have a zero after a zero. No! Listen to God. Look at Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Leading in a simple way. Psalm 32, I'm going to read verse 8. I'll read it together. Want to go? Psalm 32, verse 8. Want to go? I will instruct you and teach you in the way that thou should go. I will guide you with my eye. Hallelujah. Now, can you read that for yourself? Okay, now put you there now and read that for yourself. Want to go? God will do what? And teach me in the way that I should go. He will guide me with his eye. Can I read that again? You believe that? You believe that? And when God guides you, you will prosper. That's the truth. We get the wrong influences from people. God leads us primarily by His Word. By His Word. The Word of God is given to us so that we will know how to go in this land. Let me show you something. Look at Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. Verse 7 is a popular scripture. You know that scripture? No, verse 8. Usually people read verse 8 and they don't understand verse 8 because they try to read out of context. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." There's nothing great about that, you know? There's nothing that will make you happy from knowing that your thoughts are not God's thoughts. So you say, you know, God's ways are not our ways. And say, that God is mysterious in His ways. But that's because they didn't read the scripture before and then the scripture after. Let us read the scripture before. The scripture before is in verse 7. Let the wicked, can you see that? Are you the wicked? Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. To our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So he was talking about the thoughts of the wicked, the ways of the wicked, and the thoughts of the unrighteous. Is someone here with me? And in Christ Jesus, we are made righteous. Romans chapter 5 verse 1. Romans chapter 5 verse 17 says we have received the gift of righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21 tells us that he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we should be made the righteousness of God in him. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So he's not referring to you. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. He's referring to the wicked. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and returns not either, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bore, that it may bring seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word, hallelujah, it that goes out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in that which I send it. In other words, the word of God is the way and the thought of God. Yeah, it's my word that accomplishes what I want. It's my word that accomplishes what I desire. So shall my word. So God leads us in His word. What did I say? Can you say that louder? God leads us. So those of my ways are not His ways. His thoughts are not my thoughts. Those are such things. Those are not godly thinking. He was referring to the wicked and to the unrighteous. And the Bible says we are no longer wicked. 1 Corinthians 6 and 11 says we have been washed. Hallelujah. We have been sanctified by the name of the Lord and by the Spirit of God. He that is joined together with the Lord, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17, is one spirit. So your ways are now His ways. Because you are born of God. He has given to you His Spirit. His Spirit now is in you. I showed you that last week. The Holy Spirit now dwells in you. By the word of God. So God leads you now. The word of God, write it down if you're writing something, is for our direction. It gives us the how, the why, and the what about life. The what, the why, and the how. The word of God gives us an understanding of how God does things. See, church, God is not mysterious. God is not. See, if God is mysterious, then there's no reason for pastors. If God is mysterious, there's no reason for teachers. Imagine if you were to go to the medical school, you want to learn to be a doctor. Then the dean comes to the door. Says, before we start this course, you're in 100, you're excited, you know, he says, let me just tell you this. What we are learning here, we are not sure. We don't really know what will happen. What do you mean, sir? We can think it's headache, we will give the person Panadol and then he will die. So it's neither here nor there. What do? You change school. Just go and look at the signboard of the school. What do you call it? Oh, college. Because we have teachers so that we can understand. God is not mysterious. That is why he has put teachers in the body of Christ. To teach you so that you will understand. I receive understanding from the word of God in Jesus' name. Great. Now, Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. Read that last week. He says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Every one of God's children has the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8 verse 9. Romans chapter 8 and verse 10. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. You can read that too. Every one of God's children has the Holy Spirit. And it says, we are led by the Spirit. I told you last week, the word led by the Spirit means to be carried by. For someone to bear you up. And that involves guidance. It involves guidance. Hallelujah. It involves guidance in the affairs of this life. Turn to John chapter 8. Let me show you something else. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. See what Jesus said. John chapter 8, verse 12. Hallelujah. I love this portion of scripture. There's some things you read and then you just want to jump out of your seat. Are you there? What did Jesus say? I am the light of the world. Notice what he didn't say. He didn't say I'm the light of Christians. I'm the light of the world. Hallelujah. I am the light of the world. Glory to God. Jesus is the light of the world. Now what does he say about himself? He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Hallelujah. He that follows me, I don't walk in darkness. I don't walk in darkness. I have the light of life. I don't walk in darkness. I don't walk in confusion. I have the light of life. I don't walk in darkness. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness. I will walk in confusion. I will make the right choice in my relationships. I will make the right marital choices. I will make the right choices in my business. I will make the right choices in ministry. I will make the right choices in places to go, places not to go. Because I don't walk in darkness. When the word of God comes to you like that, you turn them to your word. I follow Jesus. I don't walk in darkness. I have the light of life. You believe that? Say it louder now. Say it because you believe it. You know, people will say, I have the light of life. I have the light of life. Just whisper, I have the light of life. What do you call for counseling? You see, I'm so confused now. If I don't know what to do. Sometimes we're loud about the wrong things. We're bold about the wrong things. I don't know what to do. My life is just hopeless, miserable, and going nowhere. I'm just confused now. I don't know. Someone came to me years back. He said, sir, I came to see you. Great. I want to see you too. He said, I don't know what to do. So then leave my presence. When you know what to do, come and see. He was confused again. He said, you understand? Came to a pastor, I don't know what to do, and he says, go. But you know what to do, come and see. So he thought probably I was joking. So he came after himself and said,
He said, I don't really know what to do. He said, I don't really want to see you. When you know what to do, can you see?
He, what kind of a human being is? So okay, maybe I'll call. So he called me next week, during the week. I said, sir, I'm not painting. He said, sir, I'm trying to do a lot of things and this, but I don't really understand. So when you understand, you call. What was I telling you? I was asking you to believe the word. We walk by faith and not by sight. I follow the voice of the good shepherd. I don't walk in confusion. I'm not saying it because I can see what I'm saying. I'm saying it because I believe. Are you following what I'm saying? I was asking him to stand in faith. You see, I can solve your problems. Only the word of God can. So he laid down and said, you know, I've got it. After like 3 weeks or so. Oh, I know what to do. I know what to do. I said, keep saying that. I know what to do. Praise God. I know what to do because the life of God is in me. I know what to do because the Spirit of God is leading me right now. I know what to do. Then he came to me. Then we found out what he knew. How to do. See that? I live by faith. When I sat out in the morning, I said, today I'm not going to be. I walk in the light. I meet the right people at the right time. I make the right phone calls. I'm not saying it because I can see the day. I'm saying it because I believe the word. Jesus said, I have the light of life. Jesus said, I will not walk in darkness. Do you believe that? I don't walk in darkness. I don't walk in darkness. I have the light of life. Can you shout hallelujah to that? I have the light of life. That's by faith. We live by faith. What I say today is a great day. It's by faith. God wrote to me, he said, sir, you know, I write some stuff every day on the internet. Then he said, it changed the way I handled my day. He said, I wait. He said, when I'm getting to the office, the first thing I'm looking for is your exhortation this morning. When we put our faith in words, people will live by faith. Sooner or later, they will rise up to it. I'm what the word says I am. I only do the word. I only believe the word. I only act on the word. I'm what the word says I am. I can do what the word says I can do. Hallelujah. I'm not confused. I don't know what to do. As often as you say that, you will breed an I don't know mentality into your system. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. When would you ever know? I walk in the light. As he is in the light. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus said. We have seen that he gave the Holy Spirit to us. Now I showed you something last week, 1 Kings 17, 1 Kings 19. Remember we said, God was going to talk. He asked Elijah that he wanted to talk to him. So Elijah had made up his mind how he wanted to hear God. That's what we do. We have a mindset. 1 Kings 19. The Bible says, certain things happened. There was a great and strong wind that broke down the mountains, wrecked down the mountains, tore it down, and the Lord was not there. So there was fire, there was earthquake, but the Lord was not there. Many times we expect something spectacular to guide us in life. You know, human beings like spectacular things. I was telling somebody in the office one day, and it took them a while to understand what I was saying. He said, you see, when you see someone who's supposed to be a juju man paint his face, he doesn't know anything. He's only trying to scare you. I've gone to shrines and I've gone to all these traditional places. Not to worship there. Even if I do it there, I'll do it to God. Every place is a place of worship. The earth is the Lord. I've gone there. I've laid hands on priests in their shrines before. That's it. One day we were doing a crusade, and one of those folks came on the crusade ground. trying to, you know, make some stuff. And then the interpreter told me, sir, sir, I said, calm down. It belongs to the king. Satan is defeated already. Because, you know, many times, because the human beings like spectacular things. He appears his face, and he puts a feather like this, and he carries a skull. Skull, somebody is dead, he brought a skull there, and he has dead. And he's now, I wonder why you're shaking. Years ago, I used to delight in eating sacrifices. You just get to the middle of the street, nice. Let me tell you what was there. So it was sweet. Let them all the time. You say, hey! So when you wake up in the morning and you don't see a calabash for you, you say, yay! Holy Ghost fire! There is no one. Human beings like spectacular things that are odd. Feather, leg, black. When I was in the school, in the university, there was my landlord, you know, supposedly put something on the door to prevent thieves. So he said that it must not be taught, gave instructions that if it is taught, the person will run mad, and all sort of things like that. That was not him when he said it. So I just got home and I saw stuff. I said, what is this? I put it down. I took it into my room and put it on my table. I was playing with it. One lady, she wasn't wearing her rings. That's a Christian. I mean, she's a Christian. How are you like? Okay. One again. He said, ah, Broshego! Ah! So what? Ah! So what is this? Feather. This was a harmless. What wrought evil are evil spirits? What's called? Not calabash. You can go and buy calabash now. Put it in your house. You can get it. Put feather there. It's evil spirits. You see, human beings like spectacular things. And the same way when you're a Christian, you like spectacular things. So you say, take this bottle of Goya. Anytime there's a problem, smash it out. Oh, God will fly out. I receive it. What spectacular thing? You see, how do I know? Maybe in the morning, your left ear just needs to. God is about to speak. God is about to speak. Just like spectacular thing. Elijah was like that. When he saw the tunnel, he said, yes, Lord, I'm listening. Just moved there and just saw that water was just coming out of the rock. Yeah? He moved again. He said, yes, I can see you, Lord. He opened his eyes. God came to him in a simple way. In a still, small. Whenever we run after the spectacular, usually we miss the supernatural. God leads us in simple ways. What did I say? I also said to you last week that God does not lead by fear. He doesn't lead by fear. No? Because you are afraid of trouble. God is telling you something. One lady, years ago, and I told you some of our influence, and let me just share this with you. This is almost by the way, but I believe you receive it. And she was getting married to someone. And then it happened that anything, this is by the way, I don't know why I'm showing it, but I think it will help somebody. Anytime they say something about her, it will come to pass. Then she left a particular ministry. They went to among these people that believe all this, lead you by directing you and all things like that. When you want to travel, you call the pastor. Pastor, can I travel to the bar? No, go initially. For maybe 30 minutes. Pastor said, give me 30 minutes, let me talk to God, let me know whether it's safe, safe. Say, God is saying, don't go until 10. You know, say, okay, yes, Lord. His FRS is watching whether there's traffic. Now, she not came to me, and I said to her, let me tell you. Let me tell you why these things are happening. It's because you are under their influence. So get a hold of God. She did. Now, this happened. She told me this after it happened. So one day, she told me, Pastor, I'm coming to church today. I said, great. I'll see you in church. That was 2003. I'm in church, I'm fine. So, she got to church. Just, I said, ah, fine. How are your people there? Say they're fine and all that. The mother-in-law was a prophetess. You know, a prophetess. And she went back. So she saw me with it and said, Pastor, you know what happened? I said, what? When I was about to leave the church, that because church was in Lagos, she was in the building. So she said, woman said she had a dream. And then she had a prophecy that if I tried to leave, I was going to die on the road. Now, normally she would have believed the woman. She said, I'm leaving. You must have, and I called all the neighbors, imagine. One hour, you say, you were begging me. I'm going. You cannot put me in bondage. Here is bondage. Here is what? I'm going to Lagos. So she didn't tell me. So she got to Lagos. She went back. Nothing happened. That was how she broke the prophetic ministry. Wow. I am free. I'm free from fear. The Father says, be careful. This is someone that used to say this to come to pass until the word of God entered our life. When you allow the word of God to settle in your mind, it will drive off any false and wrong influences. Are you here? Be careful where you go to. Be very careful. Somebody had given me a prophecy. Said, thus said the Lord, she will be a doctor. Prophetess. She was a prophetess. You will be a doctor. You will not speak to me. So when I now do be a doctor, I'll do masters, I'll be a surgeon. You know what I did? I laughed. I entered when I was going to cross to the SS class, we call it. I chose not to do anything like that. You cannot rule my life. Being a doctor, being a lawyer is your choice. That's God's word concerning you. God wants you to make up your mind what you want to be. Whatever a righteous man doeth, the Bible says in Psalm 1 verse 3, you will prosper. You prosper by the word. Is it me? Now there's a university. There was another prophecy by somebody. And my father believed it so much. He now took my jam form and ensured that I filled for accountancy. That's what it is. So when I couldn't do accountancy, it's alright. I'll feel for another course. I did. Business administration. When I entered the university, as he left, he was doing registration, he was through registering, as he was leaving like this, I was going to change of course. What do you want to do? I said, law. The guy said, well, the law department is filled up with your 200 level. I said, I don't mind. Give me political science. I will not do that business. I said, why are you so important? This is a good course. I said, I will not do it. Because it's God. See, listen, I'm led by God. I'm not led by someone's prophecy. I'm led by God. It's when that prophecy is in line with the word of God, that's when I take it. My father was so proud I became a lawyer. So proud of you. No, I'm proud of God in His word. I'm not confused. In the name of Jesus. For anybody here who seems not to know what to do, I tell you in the name of Jesus, you know what to do. What to do is on the inside of you. The Spirit of God is on the inside of you. You don't walk in confusion. Now follow me now. Fear, because I showed you last week, 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given to us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. 1 John 4:18. It says, perfect love casts out fear. 366 times in the word, it is said, fear not. That is one for every day. And in case there's a leap year, an extra one. Fear not. Fear not. So fear is not of God. What did I say? So God will not lead you by fear. He will give you a bad dream. Oh, you see yourself in the coffin. You see yourself in the coffin, get out of the coffin. Just like today, people are eating in dreams, and people say, you are eating in dreams. How many meats did you take? I say, about 10. 10 legions of spirits. Let me tell you this. If we keep teaching the word of God, many deliverance ministers will lose market. Because no one will go there again. Because the word of God has set you free. When you walk in your liberty, you don't even say, come on! Say, how many are we? Say, we are four. Four. Yeah? Four. Come on! How many are you? We're not ten. We're ten. So what's your name? Say, my name is Geisha. What are you saying? Say, I say in the port. I'm a free man. In the word of God, I am free. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God doesn't lead us. Now, I told last week, when things are not clear, but sometimes, you don't appear, things are not clear. Not because you are confused, it's because you don't have the right information. You can be so blessed and not know it. You can be so blessed. Ignorance is horrible. You can be so blessed and you don't know it. One fellow once, when there were no airplanes there, so they used to go by the sea and from the US, to Great Britain, England. So he decided to go to England to try his luck. So he sold all his property, sold everything to get a ticket to get on that ship. So when he got on that ship, he had nothing on him to eat food. So he simply stayed in the corner of a cabin and was watching. I will get to England, I will make it. He said, I'm hungry now, but I don't have money. He said, but don't worry, no matter how many days, I will stay fasting. So after like 6 days, some people partying and eating and whining and dining. I was looking at them, this boy enjoying it. Hey. God sold that calf for $56,500 instead of the $400. We have had $100 now to eat here. What did I do? After like 5-6 days, he was too hungry to remain humble. So he went to the kitchen. So what I'm gonna do is this. I'm going to serve, I'm going to walk. He goes to the kitchen. He will give me money. He was like, you don't really understand. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to walk into the restaurant. I'm going to eat. And when they arrest me, I'll say, you want to kill me? Then you go and walk in the kitchen. So he entered into the restaurant and he began to take the food. Then I said, what do you want? He said, bread. I put it there. You want some jam? I put it there. Oh, juice. That's the way that says that. Oh, juice. That's my son. I want juice. Anything that has red is juice. So he finished the food. He ate a lot. He's been hungry for like 7 days. He ate so much. He said, give me chicken. Give me. Not lapo, your whole chicken. Can I eat it? So, he was about to, he said he didn't come to ask for money. He wanted to escape. He got to the door, his conscience said, very weak conscience. He go back. Yeah, he did that. They will still arrest you. So he went there. He said, I forgot to collect money from you. What did he say? Red chicken, chips, red gorilla, elephant. He didn't get it. I said, sorry, do you have a ticket on you? Yeah, I do. Let me see your ticket. You are paid for it. That was the last day of the voyage. So ignorance can cost you a lot. Some folks believe they are saved to go to heaven. See, heaven is my home. One lady told me, he said, heaven is our home. That's where heaven is our destination. Heaven, I said, what are you doing in the university? Just get in front of a moving train. It's the easiest way to get to heaven. No. Christ is our salvation. Hallelujah. They don't know. They think, so we believe that God hates this earth. That he just wants to get out of the earth so fast. Leave. Yet the Bible tells us the earth is the Lord. Do you believe that? The earth, does not belong to the devil. Hallelujah. Ignorance. How do I receive guidance from the Lord? God guides you all the time. Because the Spirit of God is in you all the time. How do I receive? Like I told you when I was teaching you about faith, about miracles, God will always give. God is a giver. You know, let me tell you something. Now, stop and I just want to say this morning and think about it during the week. Imagine, what's your name? Samuel. Prophet Samuel. Now, Samuel, does it mean one day you woke up, then you discovered that the whole world belong to you. Including every human being on the earth. Every living thing on the earth belongs to you. Do you think the next thing on your mind will be to take from it? No. Because it already belongs to you. When you discover everything is yours, then you give. God doesn't take because he owns everything. He's a giver because everything belongs to him. That is why death is an enemy of God, because God doesn't kill. I've said that many times. The Bible tells us that death is an enemy of God. When you read in the Bible and say, and God kills so and so person, it's subject to proper interpretation of the scriptures. You must take the whole counsel of the word together. The Bible was written in progressive revelation. You will see such statements in the New Testament. God doesn't take. You don't have to take because it already belongs to you. He owns everything. So he gives. That's why the Bible says in James 1:5, he says, listen, God gives to all men liberally without finding fault. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from God. Every good gift. So when you see a nice car, say, that's from God. But where is he anything? When you see a nice house, say, ooh, antichrist. Satan is bad. Just give people money so that they will not serve God. No! Hallelujah! Are you following me? God doesn't take. God gives. Because he owns everything. Glory to God. Think about it. When things are not fair, because God will always give you direction concerning every decision that you make in life. Be a child of God. When things are not there, two instructions. The Word of God. Number one, meditate on the Word of God. I told you something last week. I said, it's better to be a little bit slower than God than to be ahead of God. When it appears that things are not clear to you, don't make any hasty decision. Find out exactly the mind of God. The mind of God is already given to you. Don't rush in the marriage. Don't rush in the ministry. Don't rush in your business. Don't rush in the world. Satan tries to, you know, we say in the world, say, hustle you, or hustle so that you can quickly do something. But the Bible says a righteous man does not make peace. It's not in the heart. One, meditate on the word. That's the first instruction we give you. Because the word of God is the light of God. Meditate on the word. The word to meditate implies three things that we'll tell you now. Number one, listen to the word. What did I say? Listen to it. Buy tapes. Buy teaching tapes. Because what is causing the confusion in your mind are the things you are listening to. And what will take away confusion is to receive light from the word. Begin to listen to the word. Proverbs 4 verse 20. My son, attend to my word. Incline your ear to my word. Mark chapter 4 verse 24. He said, for the measure of listening, thought, and study you give to what you hear is the measure that will be given back to you. Listen to the word. Pay attention. Pay attention. When I was a member of a local church several years back, about 13, 40 years ago, I bought every tape on their tape stand. Everything. I follow Kenneth Hagin a lot, and there is no tape of Kenneth Hagin I have not listened to anyone he taught. There's no book of his I have not read. There's several other teachers like that that I listen to. I listen to the word of God every day. I listen every day. In fact, when I'm walking, I take a lot of notes. You see a lot of parchments I have. I write things down and I listen. I give attention to it. Listen. Number one thing in meditation is to listen. As you are being taught in church, listen. Those who are putting down notes, know what they're putting down notes so that they can retrieve it tomorrow. Listen. Many folks are not listening. Before you quote a scripture, they know the scripture, they will quote it for you. They are not listening. Listen. Pay attention. Listen. I think. Read the word. Listen to it. Number two, meditation. In meditation, you listen. In meditation, you will now think of what you are listening to. You will now think. Ponder over it. You will ponder. P-O-N-D-E-R. You begin to ponder over it. You begin to roll it in your mind. Roll it in your mind. We just know the scripture around now, John 8:12, we say Jesus said, that means that's the truth. He is the light of the world. That means Jesus is the light of everybody. He that is not following Jesus is not walking in the light. And we are thinking, I have followed Jesus. He has given me the light of life. That means I have the light of life. Glory to God. We are thinking. You are listening to it, but you are thinking. The last part of meditation is to begin to mutter it to yourself. You begin to speak it to yourself. I was teaching someone yesterday, I told them, the mistake many Christians make is this, and listen now, when they hear the word of God, they look for an audience to preach it to. One of you do that when you leave church, you go and tell somebody what you heard. It's a silly mistake. The first audience that you need is yourself. You first need to tell yourself what you heard. You begin to preach it to yourself. That's the word meditation. Have the light of life. You begin to go around your room. I have the light of life. I have the light of life. On Monday, when I enter into the office, I have the light of life. When I'm told to do a report and submit it, on Wednesday, I have the light of life. I receive accuracy. I have the light. You know, you are saying it to yourself. Then you will receive direction that is available for you. Number two and the last one. Meditation involves to listen. Number two? Number three, mutter it to yourself. Meditation involves what? Number one to what? Number two? Number three, say it to yourself. The third and the second and the last instruction. Pray in tongues. Pray in what? Pray in tongues. It's funny today. I don't have time this morning. Some Christians are still so confused over tongues, speaking in tongues. You go out today, you hear questions like, so how speak in tongues? Is she compulsory? How can I? You know, people say, It shows that the large church world is still immature in the things of God. Because you see, when Paul wrote about tongues to the Corinthian church, they were babes that he was bringing from babes to meat. So we are still feeding on what babes were like, what babes were feeding on, and they were growing with it. 7 years ago, in Zimbabwe, from I think it was 98, I got to a church. Very big church. I think it was 6 or 7. And just the elders spoke with her. Just him. And they made the members go through different classes anyway for 7 years. You go through this class. There's some churches where you want to marry. You go for counseling 1 year. You go around 1 year to say yes. 7 years. So that when I got to leave, the first night they enjoyed me. But I noticed there was something wrong with the atmosphere. They enjoyed me. They said, I'm sick and they were healed. But they didn't. And then after Pastor Matthew, I said, there's something wrong there. There's something wrong. He said, tell me what I see. I said, the atmosphere seemed a little bit not conducive. They are not filled with the Spirit. They are not full of the Spirit. They are, I know. Let's ask the bishop. We asked. There's a denomination of church. We asked him and he said, thank God for people who have been through the 7 years class, they're almost through. For what? So to speak in tongues. Yeah. That's why you see that. So, the next day, you know, we went to the church, we dressed like boys. I wore dark shades. I wore jeans. I wore what is in me. We got in there and we preached Jesus Christ the same that saves, that heals, that delivers and fills with the Holy Ghost. Oh, the bishop was happy. And I began to speak to them how tongues is a gift. And when something is a gift, you receive it. Very simple. But Jesus said, he that believes, Mark 16:17, will speak with tongues. A tongue. But in Acts of the Apostles, all the believers there spoke in tongues. Acts of Acts chapter 2, I taught them. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 8, the same thing. I taught them. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 10, the same thing. Everybody there spoke in tongues. I taught them in Acts 11, and in Acts 19, everybody there spoke in tongues. And if tongues were to be special for some people, on the day of Pentecost, half were spoken in tongues, half were saying, see the gift. If it was for some people, in Acts 10, you might just be in your neighbor will be speaking, you don't say, it's only tongues, now only drama. Now only singing. See what the Bible says, then their eyes open. We began to lay hands on several hundreds. And they began to speak with tongues. Some of them moved near the bishop. And they went, we have it now. But today, you know, you see us all there right now, we don't believe in speaking in tongues in this place, you know, what do you believe? 1 Corinthians 14, speaking with tongues helps us to receive direction from God. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2. He that speaks in tongues speaks not unto men, verse 2, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries. In the spirit he speaks mysteries. Now look at verse 4. He that speaks in tongues, what does he do to himself? He builds himself up. He that speaks with tongues builds himself up. Now, where is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is in you, right? The Holy Spirit is in your spirit. Am I correct? Good. Now, when you speak with tongues, that is speaking by the Holy Spirit. That's what you do. Look at verse 14. Wherefore, let him that prays in tongues, verse 14, For if I pray in tongues, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. That means my spirit, in fact, the Amplified says, my spirit by the Holy Spirit inside, is praying in tongues. Tongues bring edification to you. Tongues bring progress to you. Meditation and speaking with tongues is how we can make progress spiritually as children of God. Let me show you one last one, because I don't have more time. As we close, look at verse 18. You know, some folks think that Paul was saying don't speak in tongues. You see that? Never do. Never uttered. See verse 18. Let's see what Paul says. How many of you enjoy Paul? His writings. How many of you know that Paul is a pillar of the faith? In fact, you know what Paul said? Paul said that he labored more abundantly than all the apostles. All of them put together. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10. Now, if someone writes 2/3 of the New Testament, and when he is teaching, Peter said that the things that Paul teaches are hard to be understood. Never put that in the previous verse. Peter said, Paul's gospel was complete. Yet, Paul tells us something about his life. If I were you, I would pay attention. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18. Can we read it together, everybody? 1, 2, go. Say that again. Say that again. That means tongues was very primary to the life of Paul. I thank my God. How can you stand in front of a church of several thousands and say, all of you put together? You can't match me when it comes to tongues. I'm sure he woke up speaking in tongues. I'm sure he went to bed speaking in tongues. I'm sure when he's studying his Bible, he's speaking in tongues. I'm sure when he's taking a stroll, he's speaking in tongues. I'm sure he praises God more in tongues than in understanding. See, as the man that is growing spiritually, I've seen a man who prays in tongues often. See, as the man that walks in the light of the world, I've seen a man who